The following message by Shane Sowers is brought to you by Central Baptist Church, Aurora, Colorado. www.cbcaurora.com.
All right. Exodus chapter 20, verses 4 to 6. The second commandment. So an article in the New York Times. How much would you actually pay to dress in style? Apparently, many of us would pay a lot just to look good. How about $480 for plain khakis from Michael Bastain? Or $495 for light cotton twill pants from Mary Kate and Ashley Olsen of The Row? How about $595 if they are Giorgio Armani? Or $780 for ones that are with elasticized cuffs from Bottega Veneta? Or is $350 as Tom Brown charges for chinos, is that the right price for you? Similarly, the Wall Street Journal reported in 2010 that a pair of true religion super T jeans, identifiable by their oversized white stitching. I think from what I heard too, like this is already out of style, but a pair of jeans costs around $50 to make, sold wholesale at $152, and it retailed for $335. Pair of jeans. One brand consulting expert noted, the cost of creating those things has nothing to do with the price. It's all about who else is wearing them, who designed them, and who is selling them. One Christian author was commenting on this article, and he said that designer labels easily become contemporary idols, if by idol we mean something that encourages extravagant devotion. He says the prestige given to certain brands is out of all proportion to their usefulness and actual material value. Very often, the reason people opt for designer labels, see, before I was my understanding was designer labels meant quality, right? You're going to buy a pair of jeans and it was going to last. That's the reason when I was growing up, that's the reason why you bought designer labels. But this is what he's saying. Very often, the reason people opt for designer labels is to now communicate a message of privilege to other people. Look at me. Not only do I have taste, but I have a lot of money to spend on clothes. And I was going over it this morning, I was getting dressed and I put this shirt on. And I am remembering that I had this shirt when I was in Hawaii. A long time in Hawaii. And I think, you know, I can't even remember what I paid for it. But, you know, so I'm just thinking like, yeah, I am not communicating anything to you this morning with my clothes. Family, this illustrates one of the main points of our topic today when it comes to the second commandment. Idolatry is not just simply kneeling before some kind of graven image. It's not just worshiping the wrong God. Here it is. I'm going to summarize the whole second commandment right here. It's not just worshiping the wrong God. It is also worshiping the right God in the wrong way. Right? Commandment number one, don't worship other gods. Commandment number two, do not worship the right God the wrong way. How we worship God is just as important as that we worship God. The Heidelberg Catechism, a study that we were doing with Randy in the small group. I don't know if they got to this yet, the Ten Commandments, but it's very helpful. Heidelberg Catechism, question number 96. What is God's will for us in the second commandment? The answer is this, very helpful, that we in no way make an image of God nor worship him in any other way than has been commanded in God's word. So it's not just making images, but worshiping the Lord with practices that are not ordained by God himself, revealed to us in his word. It's not just making statues. It's also worshiping him in ways that he has not commanded us or ordained for us in his word. It's just like the story our elder, Don, what he read to us this morning. Nadab and Abihu, they offered incense to the Lord. That's all they did. They offered incense to the Lord. Do you know that they're supposed to? As priests, you're supposed to offer incense, burn incense to the Lord. See, this is something that they were supposed to do. Offering incense is what was ordained by God to be used in the normal worshiping of the Lord. But they got in trouble. Why did they get in trouble? Because they offered unauthorized fire, or some of your passages or some of your translations will say strange fire. They offered strange fire to the Lord. They offered a kind of incense that the Lord did not appreciate because he did not command them to give that kind of fire. Not supposed to be offering this kind of incense. And in doing so, they were seen as idolaters and they were punished. In a way, it's like, offer incense. Well, what kind of incense? That doesn't matter. He said to give them incense, so let's give them incense. Maybe it was kind of their approach to the whole situation. But maybe today it might be different. You know, bro, he told us what kind of incense he wanted. Yeah, but you know what? We don't have it. And, you know, that kind of incense, man, that incense is really expensive, you know. It would be too much of a hassle for us to go to the store, stand in line during COVID time, and do 6 feet distancing just to get this specific kind of incense that he wants. You know what, man, this is all we got left. As long as we give him something, man, that's enough. Maybe it would have been more like that today. Well, we got to worship God today. Well, how are we going to do it? It doesn't matter. Just as long as we are worshiping, that's good enough. Spent all my money this week on movies, parties, new clothes, video games, more coins for the app game I'm playing on my phone, pizza, energy drinks, slots at Blackhawk, booze, internet pornography, and the bag of marijuana that we smoked up last night. I spent all my money on that stuff. All I got left to worship God this morning with my offering is a couple bucks. You know what? Something is better than nothing, right? Come on. I had a really hard time waking up this morning. God should be glad I'm here doing the best that I can. Family, when it comes to worship, the Lord is not asking for the best that you can. He's asking for the best. Not the best that you can. He's asking for the best. Now, some people will be listening to them and be like, oh, but Shane, you know what? I'm not smart like other people. I'm not strong like other people. I'm not rich like other people. The funny thing is that what the Lord is asking for us when it comes to worship, it actually transcends even standards or even class of people. You know, the poorest of the poor can offer the best sacrifice just as well as the richest of the rich. Lord is not asking for who can give the most money this morning. He's asking for who can make the biggest sacrifice this morning. Who can make the biggest sacrifice? It's not about the smartest prayer. You know, we got people that are just able, and I'm not saying that their hearts are wrong, but people that are able to say prayers, and when you listen to them pray, it's just like when they're done praying and they say amen and they look at you and they're like, it's your turn to pray. It's like, I'm not following that. The Lord is not asking for the best, most articulate, the most eloquent prayer. He's asking for the most heartfelt prayer. He's not asking about the strongest devotion that an individual can give, but he's asking for the purest devotion that an individual can give. Family, it's not just who we worship that matters. It's not just that we worship God that matters, but how we worship God matters today. This is the essence of the second commandment. Worshiping the right God the right way. I remember once I was talking to an individual in the church in Hawaii. I was talking to this individual about his church attendance because there wasn't any. And after a long and gracious on my part conversation, I finally had to make some things clear when it came to this. He said, "Look, Shane, I don't need to go to church. I will just worship God my way." Right? Have you heard people say those kinds of things? You know what? I don't come to church. I worship God, though. I just worship God in my own way. So my first question to that individual is, and what way is that? You know what? It doesn't matter, Shane. It does not matter how I worship God as long as I do it. Worship God as long as I do it. That's all it is. So I'm just going to worship God my way. I'm sorry, my dear friend. But that is breaking the second commandment. You don't worship God your way. You worship God his way. And to do anything else is breaking the second commandment. Anything else is idolatry. So let's take a closer look at this today. Exodus chapter 20, verses 4 to 6. Exodus 20, 4 to 6. "You must not make for yourself an idol of any kind or an image of anything in the heavens or on earth or in the sea. You must not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God who will not tolerate your affection for any other gods. I lay the sins of the parents upon their children. The entire family is affected, even children in the third and fourth generations of those who reject me. But I lavish unfailing love for 1,000 generations on those who love me and obey my commands. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the scriptures this morning. We thank you that it is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And Father, when it comes to the commandments, I pray today that it does the intent of your word, Lord, in this, that it does show us how we don't meet your standards and that we do need a Savior. And that we can find that Savior, that new life in Christ. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. So family, the first thing we're going to look at today is the command not to worship God with graven images that are fashioned or even imagined. Okay, this is going to be a huge point here. Even imagined by the ingenuity of mankind. The second thing we will explore is the prohibition of even worshiping the Lord in ways that he has not commanded in the scriptures. And finally, we will look at the perfection and even in a sense, the fulfillment of the second commandment in Christ, who is the image of the invisible God. And when you see him, you see the Father. So our thesis today is this, and again, the thesis is me trying to summarize the entire sermon in one sentence. Though sin and the pattern of this world cause us and deceive us to fall into the creation and control aspect of modern idolatry, it is the truth of Scripture and the power of the Holy Spirit that will enlighten us to the truth of our idolatry and the salvation we find in the image of Christ and in the image of Christ alone. All right, so point number one, no graven images. And I love this saying. One theologian wrote this. He says, the graven images, why is it bad? Because it's something attracting the eyes to seduce the soul. Attracting the eyes to seduce the soul. And man, today we are, it seems as if in our society today, we are captive to images. We're captive to the visual. We're captive to the things that we see. But when we go to this passage of scripture here, and we look at this commandment even further, it simply is saying we are not to represent God in any image. The first commandment made it clear that we are not to worship other gods. The second commandment is making it clear that we do not worship the right God the wrong way. So now think about the golden calf that the sin that Israel fell into after they were delivered out of Egypt. You know, there was that one moment in the story where they fashioned the golden calf and they were worshiping the golden calf. But if you listen to what they're saying that this is the God. This is our God who delivered us out of Egypt. So they are looking at the God that delivered them out of Egypt, but they wanted to represent that God with a golden calf. See, that was the sin. They were worshiping the right God in the wrong way. Because this is what the Egyptians did, right? Because the Egyptians, in their statues, they didn't think that that was actually their God. What they saw when it comes to the statues of the frog and the statue of Anubis and all that stuff, they saw that, you know, that actually wasn't Anubis. But this was something that represented, it was a point of contact, it was a visual contact that they had with their God in Egypt. And this is what they wanted to do. They wanted to worship God with a point of contact by making this golden calf. This was something they could see. This was something that they could touch. This was something that they had, just like they did in Egypt. And God is saying, no, this is a no-no. They did this in Egypt. This is what they wanted to do. They wanted to represent their gods with these statues, but you are not going to worship me this way. You're not worshiping me this way. Why? Because there is nothing in this world, nothing, no likeness or anything in this created universe that could represent God in any way. Amen. Nothing. That's what's huge about this. There's nothing. God will not nor cannot be represented by anything in his creation. Nothing. At no point, in no way. Could this ever happen? This passage shows us not only that we should not do this because he simply commands it, but that also he is a jealous God and will not share what is rightfully his with anything. Now remember, we define jealousy here, define it as when you're concerned that something that's yours is going to get taken away from you. Okay, so a lot of times today, in our society today, we confuse jealousy with envy. And what did we say envy was? Envy was when you desired something that's not yours. Jealousy is when you're worried about something that's yours is going to be taken away. And God is saying here that he is a jealous God. And why not? Because worship belongs to him. And it belongs to him only. And let me also add one more thing to this. Because he's the only one worthy of it. So number one, he desires it. But number two, he's the only one worthy of it. We think about all these things in this world that we worship, all the statues and all these other false gods that people worship. Let's just be honest. None of those gods are worthy of it. They're not worthy of it. Think about it. Nothing in all creation is worthy of our worship. Nothing. Nothing. So not only does it belong to God, but God alone is the only one who should get it in the first place because he's the only one worthy of it. Oh, but Shane, come on, man. I don't like scriptures like that where God is a jealous God. It's unbecoming of God for him to be jealous. No, it's not. You know why? Because we are actually giving our worship to other things. I mean, it's one thing for you to say, "Hey, dude, I'm I don't want this to happen because I'm jealous." But if your wife and all of, or whatever, if your wife is not doing anything to make you jealous, then you're kind of looking at that person like, "Dude, you got problems." But what if your wife is out there flirting with guys? You know, you come, you know, you went to go get some chicken, you know, frozen chicken because you forgot to get it at Walmart, and then you walk back to the cart and you see your wife massaging another guy's shoulders. I got the chicken. The thing is we are unfaithful to our Lord. We are giving worship to other things. We are. This is actually happening. So it's not unbecoming of God to be jealous of our worship. It's unbecoming of his creation to be unfaithful in rebellion in giving what's his to others. It's unbecoming of us as his creation to give something else his worship. So another reason why we don't want to worship God with graven images, because it doesn't represent God's important attribute of transcendence. He's so much more than we could ever imagine. No words could put and put together everything about God. There's no word for it. We can't even describe the immensity, the transcendence of God, of just how big he really is. No matter what we did, he would be represented with a finite thing. A finite thing. A limited thing. A material thing. A created thing. He cannot be represented as a thing because he is not a thing. He is a transcendent being that can't really even be defined in ultimate perfection. Isaiah chapter 40, verses 18 and 19. Isaiah chapter 40, verses 18 and 19. To whom can you compare God? What image can you find to resemble him? Can he be compared to an idol formed in a mold, overlaid with gold and decorated with silver chains? Can he be? No, he can't. Dr. Al Mohler, he writes, he not only knows, he knows all things. He is not only powerful, he is all powerful. He is not only holy, he is infinitely holy. He is not only merciful, he is infinitely merciful. He is not only just, he is infinitely just. And the very thingness of the idol betrays its finitude, its finiteness. It betrays that. God can't be that. God can't even be represented by that. It doesn't do it any justice. Imagine paying somebody $10,000 to create a picture or to paint a picture of you, and after he was done, he comes out and it's a stick figure with a circle for a head and 2-3 lines drawn. Would you be offended? Probably. So can you imagine something that's infinite being represented with something finite? It can't be. Isaiah talks about the insanity of this in chapter 40, that whole thing. In chapter 40 where he's talking about idols and the worthlessness of the idols and stuff. And you chop down a tree, you cut it up into pieces of wood, you create a fire to cook your food, and the other half of the tree, you're going to fashion an idol that you're going to worship. The insanity of it. It can't, God can't be represented by those things. Another reason why we can't, you know, do this, not only is that it can't be represented, but more pointed for us today, the idol shows that it was actually created. It is a created thing. So not only, number one, it doesn't represent his infinite nature, his transcendence, but it's also showing that it's something that's created. There is no way the God of heaven's armies could ever be seen of or thought of as a being created or fashioned by man in any way possible. That man had anything to do with who he is. God was not, nor cannot be created in the image of man. The Lord cannot be represented as a being in the category of creation whatsoever. We can't even put God in that category, anything about him in that category whatsoever. We cannot have it thought that anything about him was fabricated by man. So number one, can't have any idea that he was created or fashioned by man in any way. The other thing, too, is an idol shows that it's actually under our control. Why? Because we can pick it up, we can put it down, we can move it, and we can put it in its place. We can even get rid of it if we wanted to. We can hide it, or we can display it if we wanted to. There is no way the God of heaven's armies can ever be seen as or thought of as being controlled or put in place by man in any way possible. We were created by the will of God. God was not nor cannot be depicted or direct or being something that's directed by the will of man. The Lord cannot ever be represented as a being in the category of being in our control whatsoever. Family, there are so many more things I could talk about when it comes to why the God of heaven's armies cannot be represented in any way by an idol. There's so much that can be seen, but I wanted to take a couple moments to illustrate what I call the create and control dynamic when it comes to idolatry. Today, it seems like those are the two main things when it comes to man's creation of idols: the create and control. That's the thing that we like about God, the create aspect of it and the control aspect of it. Actually, today, maybe a better word than create is customize. We like to customize God. We like to customize our God. And if we customize our God, we are okay with it. But the other thing, too, is that we like to control it. We like to know what it is that we need to do in order to get the idol to do what it is that we want. We like our God to be customized and to be controlled. Well, Shane, come on. Today, most of us, even in the world, the people who aren't Christians, we're not bowing down to statues. We're not bowing down to idols. Some people are, but people will say, no, for the most part, people are not bowing down to statues. We are not making images that we worship. We're not sculpting objects of worship. My question today is this: are we not? Really? We're not bowing the knee to things created by mankind? Really? Because, family, let me say this. It's the same even in our minds and even in our imagination. What do you mean? Well, Shane, Sunday, man. Every Sunday I've been coming to church, and Sunday I've been here. After hearing your sermon today, I don't think we worship the same God. Really? Well, because you say that God is sovereign over all things. I don't think that's the case. Well, you also said that he was a God that brings judgment upon people. I don't think God is wrathful. That's not the kind of God I serve. I actually had an individual say that to me. And you know what I said to him? You're right. We don't worship the same God. Whoever that God is that you're talking about is not the God I serve. Absolutely not. And that is not the God of the Bible. So it's an idol in your mind. If that's what you think about God, that is not the God of the Bible. And if you're worshiping that God, then you are worshiping an idol. In our minds. In our minds. I mean, think about that. Does this not happen a lot? Think about some of the things that you've heard or people say. I mean, some people have said the thing, and family, this is all real. Everything I'm about to tell you is all real about what people think about the God that they serve. I think God is about 6'4", 230 pounds, blonde hair, and green eyes. One individual, popular individual, said, I think God is like the genie from the movie Aladdin. I think God is my co-pilot. Jesus is life's personal assistant. He's my coach. Jesus came to be an example of how to live a successful life. God is a God that wants us all to always be wealthy, healthy, and to never suffer, never a rougher walk in life. Theological liberals say that God is not wrathful. He is a God of love, and he will never send people to hell. Theological hedonists will say, my God will be whatever you want him to be. Theological feminists believe that God is a she. Open theists believe that God knows the future, but not all of it, because he does not know the decisions that humans will make in the future. He does not know the decisions humans will make. Family, all of these are idols in the imagination of man. This is not God. If that's the God that you serve, that's not the God of the Bible. I'll tell you that right now. That is not the God of the Bible. Therefore, you are worshiping the wrong God. Now, I know, really listen to this and hear this. You know, because some of you might be thinking, is Shane really saying what I think he's saying? Yes, probably so. If you have a wrong idea of God, if something is very, very wrong in your mind about who he is, and if it's coming from something other than the Bible, then you probably are looking and believing and believing and having faith in the wrong God. See, the problem is all of these things, all created by man, therefore controlled by man, idols in our imagination. You know, I remember having an individual with a person just saying, hey, Shane, man, I read the Bible like you wanted me to, and I was reading it, and I'm just like, you know, there's some things about the God that I like, and I think there's some things about the God that I don't like. So you know what I've decided? I said, I like the God is love. I like the God is gentle, the gentle and kind. I like how God desires for the good for people and how he likes to bless us with prosperity and all that kind of stuff. I like that. So that's the God, part of God I like. What I don't like, and if you can just get rid of this part, like the wrath part, the justice part, the holiness part, the judgment part, sending people to hell part, bringing down judgment from the heavens part, all that stuff. I don't like that part. Take that out of Christianity, and man, you got me. And I'm listening to that going, man, isn't that like our culture today when it comes to stuff? Even when it comes to our computers, comes to our cars, comes to our homes, everything is all customizable. Man, you come out with a product today, if you don't have the option of customizability, then forget it. You know, I don't like the green. I don't like the green background of this app. So, you know, if I can't change it to blue, then I'm going to go to another one that will let me. Yeah, but Shane, the product is inferior. I don't care. It's not me. You know, and so the more I'm talking to the individual, it's just like, yeah, see, this God, it's not me. That's not a God I can roll with. It's not somebody that I would want to hang out with. This God, yeah, oh yeah, I'll hang out with this God, but not that God. And the funny thing is, it's the same God. And the reality is, when it comes to the scriptures, God, let me just make this very, very clear, just in case you're wondering, just in case it's there. God, in the Bible, he's not customizable. He is the King of Kings, but he's not the Burger King. You can't have it your way. Family, do not be deceived, because this stuff is happening in the church today. We like the God that we can control. We like the God that we can customize. This is not the God of the Bible. Therefore, he is not God. And Shane, you don't understand. I mean, we're not bowing down and we're not doing all these worshipful things, you know, to the God of our imagination. Absolutely, family, we totally are. The invisible God of hedonism and freedom and autonomy is being displayed by this thing called human choice. And this God's reign continues to rule in our postmodern culture today. We're billions and billions of dollars of sacrifices are going to the gods of entertainment and materialism. These things continue, and all these sacrifices have made for continued blessing of power, profit, pleasure, and popularity. Oh, but Shane, we don't worship the gods of, you know, of philosophy and human thought and humans and all of this kind of, we don't worship the stuff with like those erotic practices that you see the Canaanites, you know, the Canaanites doing and all of that kind of stuff in the Old Testament. Oh, we don't? When today all we see is all forms of prostitution, pornography, and pedophilia all given to the gods of pleasure. Oh, it's not happening? Oh, okay, well, fine. Maybe that's happening, Shane. But Shane, at least we're not practicing the crazy stuff like human sacrifices like they did in the Old Testament to the god Molech. Let me tell you something, that in 2017, over 800,000 babies were sacrificed to the god of the right to choose. No human sacrifices? Give me a break. Many times when people say, like, I like to think of God as, they're usually making God in our image. The image may not be graven, but it's still created and controlled by the will of mankind. So why did I tell you this about the God of humanism and all that stuff? Just to prove to you that those gods exist. Oh, I don't know about Shane talking about the gods in our imagination. No, those gods exist, and we are willing to make sacrifices for them. Phil Ryken says, we are not allowed to make God's image, but only to be God's image. Point number two, or any other way, wrong worship equals wrong God. This is where it's going to get real. If you didn't think it was real, it's going to get really real now. Okay? I like to say I'm about ready to run all through your house, and I'm not taking off my shoes. I started off with this. Hey, Shane, man, nobody cares anymore about doctrine or learning theology anymore. Nobody cares about that. Why do you keep doing that? Sunday, when you go into church and we come and hear you preach, all your teaching, and this is real, people have said this to me, I listen to your sermons on YouTube and all this stuff. Why do you keep preaching doctrine? Why do you keep teaching theology on Sundays? Nobody cares anymore. It doesn't do anything for anybody anymore. It doesn't help anybody anymore. Why do I keep doing this? Why do I keep doing it? Because hear me, church family, here's my heart. Wrong theology and wrong beliefs about God lead to wrong worship of the right God, which betrays by our worship our profession of the right God, and in the end, we're actually worshiping the wrong God. That was a lot. So Dr. Al Mohler is going to simplify it for me. He says this, simply put, our worship betrays our theology. To worship the right God in the wrong way is to testify to the wrong God. That is the danger of worship. Through wrong worship, we give testimony to the wrong God. I always think of it this way. It's like here we are giving wrong worship to God, being flamboyant, not, you know, marching into the throne room of God, you know, taking mud off of our shoes, spreading it all over God's carpet, you know, taking off our coat and just throwing it on the chair. Hey, what's up, Jesus? High five, all this stuff and all this irreverent things that we're thinking. And I can just see Jesus looking at the archangel Michael going, is he talking to you or me? Because he better not be talking to me. Hello. That was real quiet. Whoa, real quiet in here. He better not be talking to me. How we worship God is clear. Bad theology causes idolatry because bad doctrine causes bad worship, which testifies to another God, which is idolatry. So wrong belief equals wrong worship equals wrong God equals idolatry. You see the importance of the second commandment here? I'm hoping that we're seeing this. One of the most important commandments for us in society today. This is what's forbidden in the second commandment, to worship him in any way that he has not expressed in the scriptures. It's kind of hard to do that if we're ignorant of the scriptures. Deuteronomy chapter 12, verses 30. Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 30. Do not fall into the trap of following their customs and worshiping their gods. Do not inquire about their gods, saying, how do these nations worship their gods? I want to follow their example. What is God saying here? Do not even think about worshiping me the way the nations worship their gods. Don't even inquire about it. Don't even look at it. Don't even find out about it. Do not worship me the way they worship their gods. No way. If we come to the Lord, family, we are going to come correct. If we're going to approach the living God, we're going to come correct, or there's going to be problems. Our worship must be in spirit and in truth. So we got to know the truth about who he is and how he wants to be worshiped, lest we testify to the wrong God and commit idolatry in worship. Man, and this is for real. This happens. This has happened, you know, throughout all the time. You look in the scripture, you see this all the time. We read about it, our elder today, Don, he read it about Nadab and Abihu. Now, again, this is a little bit my interpretation, but it falls within the context of the passage of scripture. And so I'm going to read it with a little bit of exaggeration with the words, but I need you to hear the point here. Leviticus chapter 10, verse 3. Leviticus chapter 10, verse 3. They've presented strange fire to the Lord, and the Lord killed them for doing it. Killed them for coming to the Lord and not coming correct. And then you could kind of see that Aaron was pretty upset about that. Like, they were just doing what they were supposed to be doing. Aaron could have been upset about this. Then Moses said to Aaron, this is what the Lord has said. Among those who are near me, I will be sanctified. And before all people, I will be glorified. And Aaron held his peace. Essentially, God is saying, if you are going to come to me, you are going to treat me as if I'm holy. If you are going to come to me, you are going to bring a glorifying nature, or you're going to come to me glorifying me. If you're going to come, this is how you're going to come. We are supposed to worship God. We're supposed to honor him with our hearts, our minds, and our mouth. Our lips are supposed to give praise to him. We're supposed to be offering sacrifices to the Lord. We make offerings in worship to the Lord. But if we don't do it right, then we break the second commandment. Shane, are you sure that this is the case? Isaiah chapter 29, verse 13. Isaiah chapter 29, verse 13. And so the Lord said, these people say they are mine. They honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. And their worship of me is nothing but man-made rules learned by rote. Man-made rules. Worship. God is rejecting their worship right now. These people are worshiping God, but God is rejecting it. These people were worshiping, but they were not doing it correctly. Therefore, God rejected their worship. I want something a little bit more pointed. Amos chapter 5, verse 21 to 24. Amos chapter 5, verses 21 to 24. I hate all your show and pretense. the hypocrisy of your religious festivals and solemn assemblies. I will not accept your burnt offerings and grain offerings. I won't even notice all your choice peace offerings. Away with your noisy hymns of praise. I will not listen to the music of your harps. Instead, I want to see a mighty flood of justice, an endless river of righteous living. There you go. God is rejecting their worship. So you got to understand, these people were worshiping God. Oh, Lord, praise you, thank you. In the morning, they're coming and worshiping God, giving praise, giving thanks, making their sacrifices. And God says, nope. He's rejecting it. So you see, how we come to God, what we do, actually plays a part. It actually does matter. And family, this stuff is real. If you want proof, give me a call later in the week and I'll send you clips. I'll send you stuff that you can find all over the place. This stuff is real. When we replace the preaching of the Word of God with Christian movies, instead of the pastor preaching, they play a movie on the big screen. Replacing the preaching of the gospel with concerts, with Q&A sessions, with celebrities, with a circus, with pop psychology presentations, with life coaching sessions, false teaching to promote false ideology, false Christian practice, singing songs that have unbiblical or questionable lyrics, worshiping God distracted and hypocritically with little or no effort, praying for narcissistic goods and self-serving bad motives, healing and miracle services where there are no healing and miracles, prophecy services where prophecies do not come to pass, laughing uncontrollably, barking like dogs and growling like lions, Christian tarot card readings, smoking little wooden crosses, getting a tattoo on stage during the sermon, and pumping gold glitter out of air vents and calling it glory clouds. Family, God rejects this. God rejects this stuff. All this stuff are real. It's happening. It's unbiblical ways to approach the Lord and are therefore testifying and glorifying to the wrong God. It is idolatry. Churches all over the world are doing this kind of stuff. It's idolatry. It's like, I don't know who you are worshiping, says the Lord, but it better not be me. If you are coming like this, it better not be me. Do you see that? Testifying to the wrong God. Don't come. We don't come to the Lord that way. It's idolatry. You know, here's the other thing I think is interesting too. Even coming to church, thinking that we're all good while we live a life of unrepentant sin and lawlessness. Did you know that just coming to the church, living a life however you want in rebellion, not being obedient, and coming to church and thinking that you're okay? Did you know that that is even an affront to God? Do you know that's even idolatry? Do you know that that even affects the Lord? Jeremiah chapter 7, verses 9 to 10. Do you really think you can steal, murder, commit adultery, lie, and burn incense to Baal and all those other new gods of yours, and then come here and stand before me in my temple and chant, "We are safe," only to go right back to all those evils again? Wow. You think you can live just like how you are, come to church on Sunday and chant, "We're safe, I'm good, all is well," and then go back out and do the same stuff that you're doing again? And think that the Lord doesn't reject this? Oh, these people were worshiping. They came to the temple of the Lord, came before God's presence to worship the Lord, but they were not doing it correctly. Therefore, God rejected their worship. Family, this is all going against the nature of the second commandment. To worship the right God in the wrong way is a violation of the second commandment of God. And don't think that just because we are not bowing down before a graven image that we are free from this sin. If, especially when we are showing worship, making sacrifices, giving our best, giving efforts, all of those types of things to the God that we have fashioned in our own minds. We like to emphasize the things about God that we like and diminish or eliminate the things about Him that we don't like. Family, this cannot be the case. Do not be deceived. He rejects this kind of worship. We will be judged for this kind of worship. When we come, we will treat Him as holy. When we come, we will glorify Him. And when we come, we will be obedient to His word with the best that we have to offer, or He will reject our worship. Don't be deceived. Our God is worthy of the best. We can't treat Him in any other way. You know, even the president, I remember one individual, he can't stand our president for whatever reason. He can't stand our president. But, you know, but then he was invited to some dinner that happened at the White House, and he got all spiffied up, looked nice, took a shower, put on some cologne, you know, was nice and polite, shook the hand, you know, all that stuff. And I was just like, man, sometimes even people who don't like the president treat the president better than we treat our God. And that is a shame. Sometimes I feel like Buddha is given more honor and respect from his people than Christ gets from his own people sometimes. You know, I tell the story, I'm going to tell it again. I remember that time, I'm listening, I'm sitting at the stoplight, you know, waiting to move, and this car comes by, and they're blasting, like, you know, loud Christian music, you know, all the people singing glory, glory. Hi, here's a guy, hallelujah, he reigns. And I'm just like, whoa, this guy is jamming out to some music, man. And I'm looking there, and right there on the dashboard is a little bobblehead Jesus with his mouth wide open, his tongue hanging out like a dog, and he's got, you know. And then he speeds off and goes, and I'm just kind of stunned, and I'm just looking forward, and the car behind me honks. Sorry. I wonder what would happen to an individual if you pulled up next to a Muslim and you had a bobblehead Muhammad on your dashboard. I wonder what would happen. Sometimes I wonder about that. Why is it that we show so much irreverence to our Lord sometimes? Why is that? What are we being taught? The wrong view of God creates the wrong worship of God. And the wrong worship of God is giving testimony to the wrong God. Because that's not the God of Scripture. Family, don't we believe today that our Lord should get the best? Now I get it. I get Scriptures that, you know, Jesus is that friend that sticks closer than a brother. I get that. I get that Jesus is our friend. But family, never forget that He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Oh, I get it. Jesus is my brother. Oh, yes, we are brothers. All of us brothers in Christ. We are co-heirs with Christ. But Jesus is the living God. And the picture that we get of Jesus in the book of Revelation, man, you know, symbolic, I know, symbolic, I get it. With fire coming out of his eyes, feet of bronze, a sword coming out of his mouth. Oh, you better believe that judgment is coming, and judgment is going to be scary. worshiping the right God in the wrong way is idolatry. The reality for us today is this. We fall into this so easily. You know, we fall into this so easily. I know for me, several years ago, and I even still have to deal with it a little bit now. But man, you know, a big thing for me was like sports, you know. And I know this is Colorado. This is a sports town too, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, a lot of people struggled with a lot of this stuff. But man, I wondered sometimes, you know, it's like how much devotion we give to certain things in this world. And then you kind of sit back and you kind of wonder, like, why can't I give this kind of devotion to our Lord? You know? I mean, man, when the football game is going to come on Sundays, you know, half hour before the game even starts, man, we're ready. We're set. We got Bronco jersey on. It's all good. You know, we got our food. You know, we got our beverages in the right place. Food right here. You got the 3D glasses. You know, if you got the 3D TV. And all this stuff. And, you know, you're there. And then you sit down. And here you go. The game's about to start. And there's like 15 minutes left. Right? It's waiting. Oh, watch 15 minutes of commercials. All this kind of stuff. But then when it comes to church on Sunday, 15 minutes before church start, you still putting your clothes on? Can't get, oh, we got to skip. I've got to have to skip breakfast. Come walking in, doing all this stuff and fighting traffic, all this stuff. And, you know, you're not in service there 15 minutes early going, man, I'm ready. I'm ready to go. No, no, no. 15 minutes late, we come dragging. Come on, kids. We got to get there. All bent out of shape, attitude, sitting down, ready to go, watching the game, hyped up, excited, ready to go, and then sitting here, and then start, oh, I gotta come here on Sunday, and for what? Gotta sit here, listen, worship team going, Pastor Shane getting up there with the suit and all this stuff, talking all this theme. But we don't do that at Bronco games. It's one. It's also too different, right? When you go to the stadium and you're there. Woo-hoo, you an hour early then, you know, making your ribs and stuff in the parking lot. I would love it one day to come to church on Sunday, come rolling up at 9 o'clock and see all you guys out there tailgating before service. Man, people be driving by going, man, I'm going to that church next week. I wonder sometimes the lengths that we will go to, things that we will do for things in this world. Think about that this week. Because that was a humongous conviction for me. And I had to curb that. I had to repent. I had to apologize to God. And pray that the Holy Spirit gives me strength to change my ways. Because I'm going to tell you this right now. Christ is more worthy of all the yelling, the chanting, the screaming, the enthusiasm than the Denver Broncos. Because all things on this earth will pass away, but our Lord is forever. Forever and ever cannot be represented by anything. And see, that's the thing. When we were born to worship. It's what we were going to do. We are worshiping beings. The human soul will find an object of worship. We're going to find one. Either we're going to find it on the shelf. We're going to find it on TV. We're going to find it in the magazine. We're going to find it on the altar. We're going to find it in the mirror. We're going to find it. And family, even atheists worship. Their God may not be in the heavens, but it's in creation. It's humans. It's humanism. Humanism gets the glory. So much of the world is stealing the glory and worship due to our God and God alone. And we, because of deception and our sin nature, continue to destroy this image of God in us and destroy the rightful worship of the living God in sin. Sin is a reality, and the distortion of our minds continue. We sin in action. We even sin in our imaginations. We've been adulterers. We've been unfaithful in our worship in so many ways. And family, I'm not even saying that. Do you realize that when we come to church in the morning and we're up there and we're singing songs or just, oh, here we go. Okay, fine, God, I'm giving you my worship. And we're just dragging and forcing ourselves. Do you realize that that's the equivalent of bringing an animal that has one eye and a broken leg and a limp and all bust up and presenting that to the Lord? We are not giving our best. We're not giving our best. We're offering the worst that we have. We're giving God our leftovers. Because you gave it your all at the party last night. And this morning, we're just going to give God what's left over. Sin is a reality, and the distortion of our minds continue. And yes, we all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We like to create, or we like to customize and to control God. And that is an abomination and an affront to the living God. But family, there's good news for us today. Of course it's going to happen. Here it is. We do have good news for us today. Why? Because there is forgiveness for us today. Amen. Forgiveness. Even last night, we could have committed horrible idolatries, but the Bible says if we confess our sins to the Lord, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Forgiveness is found in the person and work of our Lord Jesus, the very image of the invisible God, Christ Jesus, that when you see Christ, you see the Father. And Jesus died for our sins according to the Scriptures. And He was buried and He was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners. That if we confess with our mouths that Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. And all who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So absolutely, yes, we see in the Scripture, our God is a God of justice. He is a righteous God. He is a holy God. He doesn't tolerate nonsense. But He is also a loving God. He is also a merciful God and a God that showed us grace. Us so much. How much did He love us? He loved us so much that He would send His one and only Son to be a sin offering for us, to pay the penalty of our sins, to live the life that we should have lived and die the death that we should have died so that we could have life and life more abundant. That's why we glorify and we worship Christ. That's why we get excited when it comes to Christ. Because when we see Christ, we see the Father. And all the things that we feel like we were lacking with the second commandment, because we couldn't have this visual thing for us to make a connection with. The thing that's amazing is, when it comes to worshiping the Almighty Invisible God, we actually, in a sense, find it fulfilled in Christ. Christ is the image. Christ is the image of the invisible God. He is God incarnate. So much so that when we see Christ, we see the Father. We're not empty. It's not unfulfilled. Everything we have, everything we love, everything we will be is in Christ. The fulfillment of the second commandment. Let's pray.
Thank you for listening, and may the Lord bless you and keep you. For more information about Central Baptist Church, go to www.cbcaurora.com.